Good morning. Every time I hear that song, I think back to about 19. Wow. You know when you start off with 19, it's a long ways back now, don't you? But I think back to about 1997, maybe 96. I was working for my father-in-law. Didn't know he was going to be my father-in-law at that time. But I wasn't dating his daughter, but he kept me away from her as much as possible. So for a straight month, I worked in New Orleans with the telecommunication group. And I got to see that song played the way it should be. When we first got to the job site, there was a funeral parade. It's not a procession, it's a parade. And they are walking the streets. And I mean, they are just as somber as they can as they go into the graveyard. And it's a very moving moment, because you know at that point that someone has lost a loved one, someone has parted from this earth, and there's a finality in it almost. But as we were finishing up the job, we were up on a three-story catwalk. As we were finishing up on the job, we got to see the parade that left the cemetery. Let me tell you something. It was a lot different from the parade that went in. They went in all somber, all respectful, all reverent, and they come out with a party like you had never seen before in your life. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, because when we sing that song, that's how we should be singing it, with joy in our heart that we have that opportunity to have a closer walk with Him every day of our life. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, this is something we really need to wrestle with and grip, take hold of. If we've got Jesus beside us, walking with us every day, what do we really have to fear? What do we have to fear? Absolutely nothing. If we have Jesus walking beside us every day, what do we have to worry about? Absolutely nothing. And that song tells a lot about that. He is with us, guys, and we need to be thankful for that. Daddies, all you daddies out there, Happy Father's Day. Guess what? Today I'm not going to talk about how bad you are. Most of the time I love Mother's Day, because Mother's Day we talk about how great mothers are, and Father's Day we always talk about how horrible they are, and we're not going to do that today, but I am going to challenge you. I am going to be speaking specifically to the dads, but this does not mean that, ladies, you don't need to tune out. But also, ladies, I want to challenge you, because I may say some things that you may want to say. You heard what Scotty said later? Don't do that, okay? Let the Holy Spirit do the work of the Holy Spirit. I promise you He'll do it better than you can. And I know sometimes you want to be that gentle nudge, but that gentle nudge feels more like a sharp knife. And let's let the Holy Spirit do that. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 17. That's where we'll be today. We will be reading a few more verses, but since I am tailoring this towards men, towards Father's Day, we are going to be brief. I'm going to go through these points extremely quick. But before we do that, there's a couple of things I want you to be in prayer for this week. First and foremost, next week starts WinShape, or the week after next starts WinShape. Like I told y'all last week, next Sunday we're going to have a lot of people in here that are normally not in here, and I want you to encourage them, to love on them, because these people are the 25 summer staffers that have already been going all over the state of Georgia to put on WinShape in various communities. This week they are in Rome, Georgia, and from Rome they will head this way on Saturday. Speaking of Saturday, I'm going to need a little bit of help. We still need help with some volunteers, but there is something else that I need help with, and I know this is a crazy ask, but hear me out on this. One of the things that they asked for us to help them with is laundry. Think about that for a minute. Laundry. These guys have been doing nothing but traveling from place to place to place. Some of the hotels that they stay in don't have laundry mats or laundry in them whatsoever. And not only that, they are absolutely zapped from being with kids all week. So they ask us if we would help them with laundry. If you are willing to help with a load of laundry, two loads of laundry, whatever it may be, please, Hannah, where are you at? Stand up and take a bow. Just stand up. please see Hannah right after service. But another help that I need help with is I need some people to help with lunch. You're not doing lunch for everybody during WinShape. You're actually only doing lunch for the volunteers. Everybody, all the kids are told to bring their lunch. And not only that, they get the option to buy Chick-fil-A every day too. Boys, don't break me, okay? Don't break me. But I need help with preparing lunches every day. It will only be for 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you'll only be there for a couple hours. You come in, you make some sandwiches, you serve the volunteers, and then you're out. So if you can help with that, again, Hannah, stand up one more time. Trust me, stand up one more time. Please see Hannah right after service, and I will greatly appreciate it. Another thing I want you to be in prayer about is tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., we're going to pray for them now because I don't know if I can make it at 6 a.m. in the morning. I'm going to try my best. But at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, our student ministry and some of our chaperones head out to Orange Beach, Alabama. I think that's where it's at. All I know, it's in L.A. That's about all I know. But a bunch of them head out tomorrow morning, and I want y'all to be praying for them over the next couple of days. First, I want you to pray for safe travel. We always want them to be safe. But the next two things is I really want you to spend some time, intentional time, praying for our students over. First, I want to ask you to pray for a community being built in this student ministry. It's been amazing to watch over the last couple of weeks the community that is starting to get built in our students. We've got some of them Wednesday night after Bible study. They get out of here and they go to the gym. They hang out. They talk to one another, encourage one another, love on one another. And I know that seems like such a small little thing, but that is absolutely huge because they're taking church out of the four walls. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But I also want you to be in prayer for them that God would speak to our students. Our students are bombarded by all kinds of information, by all kinds of things that are brought to them via media, via friends, via school. And you know, sometimes it can get confusing. You know what I mean? Sometimes it can get confusing to know what is right, what is real, what is genuine. And this week, what I desire more for our students than anything is that they would personally be able to leave that place saying, I heard from God. He spoke to me. He spoke directly to me. And because of what he spoke to me, I know what is real. I know what is true. I know what is genuine. And I pray that it's something that changes their life forever. Because guys, I don't know if you know this or not, but here before long, these students, they'll be taken over here. They will be taken over. They'll be the ones up in the choir. They'll be the one behind the pulpit. They'll be the one behind the piano. They'll be the ones ushering. They'll be the ones doing Sunday school. They're the ones that are coming behind us. And we need to be praying for them more than ever, but we also need to be leaving this place in a way that they can pick it up, run with it, and take it further than we ever could. That's my heart for our students, that they would take what we're doing here and run with it and take the gospel to parts of the earth that we never even thought possible. So if you will, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for this time that we have this morning together as your children, as believers, as people who have been changed, not just by a message, but by God. People who have a desire for your word, not only to be taught and preached, but also a desire for your word to be lived out. And this week, Lord, as we start to prepare for a lot of things that are going on in the church, I want to ask, Lord, that today you would let us hear from you. Father, I first want to lift up our youth. You know the conversations that me and you have had before pertaining to the next generation. You know the concerns of my heart by the messages that they are hearing, the messages that are being pushed on them. And Father, the only thing that I desire for them is that they hear from you. I pray, God, that you would soften their hearts, that you would open their ears, and that you would help them to hear a word that is directly from you that would impact their life from this day forward. Father, if there is one on this trip that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that this would be the time where this individual would come to know you, where this individual would surrender their life to you, and where this individual would forever be changed. But Father, I also ask that you be with them, because I know there's going to be a lot of opportunity, Lord, for them to spend time together, to get to know one another, and this is important. It's important because a lot of times, Lord, all these students feel like they're all alone. And it's good for them to have other brothers and sisters in Christ that they see day to day at school, that they see in town, that they see at the gym or even at work. People that will encourage them, people that will support them, people that will love on them, and people, Lord, that will challenge them to be the men and women of God that you've called them to be. Father, we ask that you be with all the chaperones. I know firsthand, Lord, how crazy it can be to be on one of these trips. But I pray that they too, Lord, would take the opportunity that they have to invest in these students and run with it. Father, time's short. For some of these students, this is going to be their last trip with us as they move on to a whole new chapter of life. And I just pray, God, that these chaperones would see this as an opportunity more than just to watch out for them, make sure they don't do something stupid, but also as an opportunity to build a relationship with them. Because there's going to be times, Lord, where these students need another ear. These students need another shoulder to cry on. These students need another voice speaking into their life. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the chaperones that are giving up their time, giving up their vacation, taking away from their family to spend time with these students. Bless them for that. Father, as we get ready for Windshape, I'm thankful for the number of kids that you've sent already, Lord. But I know it's not about the numbers. I know it's about the message that's going to be presented to these kids. And I know specifically kids, Lord, that are going to be there, Lord, that are going to be given an opportunity to surrender their life to you. And God, I just pray that these kids won't be looking around to see what their friends are doing, that these kids won't be worrying about what people will think about them. I just pray that these kids will respond to the message that your son, Jesus Christ, died for them as a substitute for their sin, as a substitute for the punishment that they deserve, so that they could have eternal life and so that they could have a life forever with you. Father, do what only you can. I pray that for this morning as well. As we sit and we talk about this man by the name of Elijah, Lord, and this example that we see with him and the widow, I just pray, God, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart and mind to understand what this word has for us, but help us to apply it. Help us to put this word to use. Father, again, thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's all these things I ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As we continue our summer series on Elijah, I'm going to tell you, this is one that's been very challenging for me. Because over the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to do something that I really hope that y'all will try to do too. I want us to humanize Elijah a little. You know what I mean? Sometimes we look at these Bible characters, we see them as these prominent figures, and Elijah is. He's considered one of the greatest prophets of all times. But sometimes when we look at these people in this light, we tend to put them on a pedestal that I know God never intended for them to be on. Matter of fact, we look at these people as super Christians. And a lot of times when we look at these men and some of these women, we think there is no way that I could ever do that. But I want to remind you of this. Elijah was simply a nobody from nowhere who came to be an example to everybody everywhere. He was just a guy, just like me and you. And I know we've had other figures like this in our life that we have looked to and we think to ourselves, especially as men, as insecure men, let's get real, we're insecure. We don't think we can do this task that we've been called to be a husband, to be a father, to be a man in our community, to even be a man of God. We don't think that we have the capability to do it. But I want to remind you of this. Elijah was just like me and you. Another man that I've been looking at a lot lately, been looking at his life a lot lately, is Billy Graham. And you know, Billy Graham is considered to be the greatest evangelist during the 20th and even the 21st century. During his ministry, Billy Graham conducted, listen to this, Billy Graham conducted 417 crusades, 417 crusade revival meetings. Of those 417, 226 were held in the United States and 195 of them were held internationally. During those crusades, it is estimated that Billy Graham got to speak personally, I want to make sure that that's being said, just like you're hearing me, in my view, he got to speak to almost 202 million people. But I want you to think about that, this. That doesn't include the radio broadcast. That doesn't include the TV broadcast that he was on. One of the things that's really intrigued me about him recently is Mom told me a story a while back that I really didn't know before. That Mom was at home one night during a very hard time of her life. She was having doubts and questions about her salvation. And it just so happened that one of these crusades were on. And she listened to it. And while she had given her life to Christ, during that moment, Jesus showed her just how real he was. Jesus made a mark in her life that led her to lead her children the way she did. And I'm forever thankful for that. But Billy Graham, I want you to think about this. As a humble dairy farmer from Charlotte, North Carolina, had no idea the impact that he was going to have on all these people. He wasn't just born and knew right away that I'm going to impact every single one of these people. But he did. But just like Elijah, while we consider Billy Graham so great because what he did, the only thing that makes Billy Graham as great as he is his obedience. He was obedient to do what God had called him to do. And men, that's where I want to challenge all of you today. What bothers me the most is that most of you think that you can't do it. But the reality is, it's not God, or it's not Elijah who did all the great things. It's not Billy Graham who did all the great things. It's not Bill Stafford that done all the great things. It's not Charles Spurgeon who preached all the great sermons. It was what God did through them, through their simple obedience and following him. Men, fathers, we hear stories like Elijah and Billy Graham, and we feel like they're spiritual giants. But as we're going to be seeing over the next couple of weeks, these people were just as human as you and me. They knew what it felt like to be scraping the bottom of the barrel. They knew what it felt like to feel like complete failures. They knew what it was like to be tempted. They knew what it was like to have sin pulling at them left and right. And you know what else? They knew what it was like to want to just lay down and quit. Today, we're going to be talking about another time in Elijah's life, right after he has been given this great threat to Ahab. And he's been told, after he gives this threat, he's been told to retreat to a cavern land for safety, where God will provide for him. But remember the threat that Elijah gave to the king? that the clouds would not drop rain. There would be no dew until he spoke again. And this was the word of God. So you know what happens to that brook after a while? It starts to dry up. And that's where we're going to pick up today. 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 7. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. The place where God had told him, I'm going to take care of you, it's no longer a place that's inhabitable. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, arise, go to Zephrath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zephrath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, please, get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please, bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives. I think it's funny that she acknowledges who Elijah's God was. It's kind of funny. I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son what we may eat and die. Wow, that's a statement. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went in and did accordingly to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken through Elijah. Man, a couple of things that I really want to point out to you from this scripture. And I want you just, don't write them down, but I just want you to take mental note of them. You can write them down if you want to. But the first thing that Elijah had to do during this time was Elijah had to come out of hiding. You see, Elijah was in that craven land not only for a place of provision, a place of water, a place where the raven would bring bread and meat, but he was also there for a place of protection. It was a place where you couldn't find people easily. It was a place to where many robbers and many villains would go to hide when they had committed crimes. This was a place where people went to hide. But for Elijah to be obedient to God, the first thing he had to do, coming out of this land, which God told him to go to in the first place, is he had to stop hiding. He had to stop hiding, and he had to come back into the real world that's around him. You know, you can read statistics all over. Focus on the Family, Lifeway, and all these other places about the situation that we have with men being absent in the home. I'm thankful that we have men in our homes. I'm thankful that many of you have chosen not to give up, but have chosen to stay focused on your family. But at the same time, I know what it's like to want to hide. I know what it's like to want to break away from all that, because honestly, being a father sometimes just seems too much. Being a husband sometimes just seems too much. And it's during those places that when we get alone and when we hide is when Satan has his biggest time with us. When we're alone, when we're isolated, and we have nobody else to speak into our life, nobody else to surround us and help us, we become weak. Listen to me, man. I know we don't like to think about us becoming weak. We're men, we're strong, we protect our family, we provide for our family. We do all these things for our family. But the reality is, a lot of times in our life, we go into a hiding. I do it myself. I hide in my car for 15 minutes before I go in the house. Jennifer doesn't like it. Sometimes I'll go into a room adjacent from the living room, not to hide, well, yeah, to hide, just to get a little peace and quiet. It's okay, she does it too. That's where she goes and reads. But at the same time, there's times that we just need to pull away. Elijah had been through his time of pulling away, and now was the time that he had to come back. And I want you to listen to the words that God told him. Arise! Arise! This is not just something that God said lightly. God didn't say, Elijah, it's time to get up. Come on, Elijah. It's time to move on forward. This word has action to it. Arise! Get up from this place that you're at. I have provided for you here. I have been your source of nourishment during this time. But it is time for you to get up and do these things which I have commanded you to do. It is time for you to get up and be the prophet. You know what? Tommy was right when he opened it up this morning. How many times do we get up in the morning and just say, thank you? Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity of having another day. Thank you for the opportunity of having this day given to me, this breath in my lungs, this blood flowing through my veins. But even at the same time, man, when's the last time that we just woke up and said, thank you, God, for allowing me to be alive, but thank you, God, for the wife that you gave me. Thank you, God, for entrusting these children to me. Thank you, God, for giving me this responsibility to raise these young men and women, to be their dad, to be the one that comforts them and loves them. Last night I got to see a whole new chapter in being a parent. And I've been a part of many weddings before, been to many weddings before, but last night we got to celebrate Kendall and Parker, and it was just a phenomenal day. But I got to watch a dad give a speech. And I don't know if I've just never paid attention before. I'm good at that. But the reality of what was taking place in Eric's life became extremely real to me. This is a man whose life was changed the moment he held that little girl. This is a man whose life was forever changed the first time she smiled at him. And last night, as he shared with the whole group about the love that he's had for his daughter all these years, he realized now it was time for that love to be spread to another young man. Man, we didn't have to experience this. We didn't have to have the wife that we have. We didn't have to have the children that we have. What we received was blessings. What we received was gifts. And what we need to do every day is arise and thank God for the opportunity that He has entrusted us with. You know what? That is your wife. But I want to remind you of this. She's God's first. You know what? That is your children. But I want to remind you of this. They're God's first. how great an honor we have that he entrusted them to us. Arise. The next thing that Elijah had to do is he had to trust in something other than himself. For months now, during this time, is what most people say, Elijah had trusted God with all provision. But at this point in time, God is telling him that you're going to go and trust another source for your provision. And it's not a source that you would normally run to. God tells him, I have commanded a widow to help provide for you. Y'all thought about how messed up this scenario is? This is a woman who has a child at home. She is a widow. That means her husband is dead. Her source of provision, her source of protection, her source of any prosperity in this world has been taken completely away from her. And during this time, she doesn't have much. We'll get into that in a minute. She doesn't have much at all. And God tells Elijah that you are going to go depend on this woman for your provision. It's not right, is it? It just doesn't make sense to us, does it, man? Why would a man go provide or go rely on a widow when in our culture and even in the culture of that time, the reality is we should be providing for them. This was not a source where somebody would find help. But man, God has sources of help for us everywhere, and so often we don't see them as the help that they are. We don't see the source of help in corporate worship. We don't see the source of help in Sunday school and small group. We don't see the source of help that God has given us through our men's breakfasts. We don't see the source of help that God has given us just from going out to lunch and eating with one another and talking about what's going on. We don't see these things as sources of help. Because the reality is, we still got this in us that I can provide for myself. You know, I think God took Elijah to a cavern land because Elijah needed to learn a hard lesson. The lesson that Elijah needed to learn was that he could not provide for himself in that place. And even when you come out of this place, I'm going to use something that you would not expect to provide for you. I'm going to use a widow. And guess what, Elijah? When you get there, this widow's got one cup of flour and just enough oil to make a cake of bread. But God used this woman to nourish Elijah. Men, our sources of nourishment sometimes come from unlikely places. Don't be so proud. Don't be so proud. Don't be that person that takes the blessing away from somebody else. But also, don't put yourself in a state of weakness just because you're too strong to let somebody else help you. Brothers, look at me. All of you brothers, look at me. I need your help. I can't be the husband I need to be to my wife without some of y'all's help. I can't be the father to these kids without some of y'all's help. I can't be the pastor. You want to know a secret? I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't. Me and Tommy sit down and talk this week, and I just looked at him and I started crying. I have no idea what I'm doing, guys. I really don't. But I need you to help me. We need each other. Let's not be so proud to accept help from sources that we would consider the help we need. Elijah had to rise. Elijah had to trust something other than himself. But out of these two things come some amazing results. The first amazing result that come out of this, and I'm going to be very quick on this, is Elijah's obedience led to others' obedience. The fact that Elijah was willing to get out of this cavern and go to this woman who had nothing for provision led to abundance in her home. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. This was not Elijah's home, but at the same time, for days, Elijah stayed with her. For days, Elijah was fed from this one little jar or bowl of flour. For days, Elijah was fed from this jar of oil. For days, it says it. For days, he was present. And while he was present in that home, he was a blessing because of his obedience. This is why we need to arise. Because we need to be obedient to what God's calling us to do. Because our families are depending on the blessing of God from your obedience. But if you're not there, if you're checked out, if you're in one of those moods like I get in, you're robbing your family of a blessing. Your family's depending on you to provide for them. Your family's depending on you to protect them. But I want to share something with you that many of them probably have never shared with you. Your family is dependent on you being obedient to God more than anything. Obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings provision. Obedience brings stability. Obedience brings life. Be obedient to your family. Be obedient to God. You know, it's amazing. This woman says something that really stuck out to me. She says, "As the Lord your God lives." Do you notice what she did not say? "As the Lord my God lives." Because of Elijah's obedience, his God becomes her God. But we'll get into that next week. Husbands, dads, think about that. Because of your obedience, some of your children will believe too. Because of your obedience, some of your grandchildren will believe too. Because of your obedience, some of the people you work with will believe. Because of your obedience, people will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you know what? There's no greater thing on earth that I can think of. Elijah's obedience became a blessing to this woman. You know, me and Jerry have talked about this a lot. How full do you think that jar actually got? How full do you think that bowl actually got? You see, because we got this imagery that every day this bowl just filled up to the top. That every day this bowl just overwhelmed itself to the point that flour was flowing everywhere, oil was all over the cabinet. But I really don't think that's the way it was. I think every day that that woman went to that bowl, every day that that woman went to that jar, there was just enough for another day. And I think every day, because of Elijah's obedience, she goes back, there's another cup of flour. There's another day of provision. Every day, because of Elijah's obedience, there's just enough oil. There's just enough to provide for. And I want you to understand this, man. that sometimes God's not going to overflow us with abundance. But I promise you this, He will give us everything we need when we need it. We've just got to trust and be obedient to Him. Lean not on your own understanding. In other words, stop trying to figure God out. Stop trying to make sense with how He's going to do these things in your life. Stop questioning Him when He gives you a direct command. Be obedient and let Him show you that every day you may be scraping the bottom of a barrel, but every day you'll have enough flour. Every day you'll have enough oil. Every day you will have enough. Because, men, I want you to leave with this. You are enough. You're enough. You're enough to be dad. You're enough to be the husband. You're enough to be the man of God, not only in our community, but also in this church. You're enough to serve. You're enough. Because God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who has no limits, the one who has no bounds, He is the one who provides for you. And you know what, men? You need to hear this. We're told by Paul that we are God's masterpiece. Do you know what that means, men? You're not junk. You're not a hand-me-down. You're not second rate. You were created as God's best. Live it, embrace it, and be obedient to it. Father, you know my heart's not been to condemn men, but to challenge us this morning. Because the reality is this, Lord. We need you. We have enough insecurities in ourselves to fill the Nile River. We never have enough doubt to stop us in our tracks. We have enough fear to keep us from ever moving forward. But at the same time, Lord, sometimes we look at these things and we think that there is no way that we can get beyond this. And then we look at this man like Elijah and we say, God, how did he do this? But the reality is this, Lord, he didn't. You did. Because you took a nobody from nowhere. And with his obedience, you turned him into a true example to all of us men everywhere. Father, help us to be obedient to you. Help us, Lord, as we scrape the bottom of that barrel every day of our life, to be thankful for that cup of flour, to be thankful for that jar of oil, to be thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to be dad, to be a husband, to even be alive. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to challenge you with something.